You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Thursday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday here with me as we together trek through the New Testament. Lord God, I thank you now for all of these listeners here today. Everyone who's taken the time to tune in today, not because they want to hear me, but they want to hear a word from you, because the people out here are addicted to you and addicted to your word, and they can't get enough. I know the secret. I thank you for it. I pray you do an awesome work here today and all of us as we sit under the authority of your word. Speak to us now. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. We're in the book of Acts. Again, this is WGOD Radio. We're tuning into God's frequency here. This radio program is brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. We would love to see you this Sunday. We're going through the book of Acts, as you've noticed here on the radio. That's what we're doing at church as well. We're up this week to chapter 10. We're going to listen to my favorite sermon in all the Bible, and that's from the Apostle Peter as he's preaching at the house of a Gentile named Cornelius. We're in the 10th chapter of Acts. We would love to see you. My sermon is entitled Grace, 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 as opposed to Torah, 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 would be for us New Testament believers, for us Christians, we have one covenant, the new covenant, grace, grace, grace. Let's put that on our church sign. That'll be my sermon this Sunday. We would love to see you here in the house Sunday morning at 10:30. Island Community Church is the place. 1000 North Banana River Drive is the address. You are invited. If you're new to the area or looking for a church home, I invite you to attend one of our services. Why not this Sunday? What a great week to come and visit. You'll be warmly greeted and welcomed by this awesome church family here. We would love to meet you and see you. Okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now. Peter has the keys. Always remember the sole purpose of miracles, though, and miracles of healing in the New Testament. It's so that you would know Jesus Christ is Lord and is the Son of God, is the purpose of miracles. Not for you to find your wallet or your car keys. That's not a miracle. Not for you to come up with rent money is not a miracle. But that you would know Jesus is the Messiah, that's a miracle. Now, verse 36. Now, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. There was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. Now, when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. So, why not bury her? She's dead. Why not bury her? Keep reading. You'll find out the reason. Since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. You see, why didn't they bury her? Because Pete's at the next town over. Why bury her? Peter's right down the street. See, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth, it's going to be loosed up here in heaven. They didn't even bury this woman when she was dead because they heard Peter was down the street. since Lydda, this is verse 38, was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Interesting. People had the same attitude with the Lord when he walked the earth as well. An attitude that death was just an inconvenience. Because believers understood that Jesus had the power of death. And apparently, these people understood that the apostle Peter had the same power over death as well. That's why they didn't bury this woman. She's dead. They don't bury her. They just sent for Peter. These people knew and understood that Peter had the keys. See, don't let death get in the way. Don't let death get in the way. Peter's down the street. It's all we need. You know, I bet you that Matthew 16 was legendary back in the day. I bet you, I mean, that's like the Magruder film from November 22nd of 1963. That famous film, here's another famous one, what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew chapter 16. I bet you anything that you want. Everyone in town knew this. Psst, he gave Peter the keys. We got a dead woman here in town. We're not going to bury. We're just going to send for Peter down the street. They knew he had the power over death. Now, verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out. Sound familiar? Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? Remember the people wailing and crying outside the room? He just put all these people out. Now Peter's doing the same thing. So Peter put them all out, verse 40, and he knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, now Jesus, remember, said, Talitha kumi. Here he just says, Tabitha, get up. Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And then he says, here you go. Now go get her a little barbecue. Well, I'm guessing on that one, but I'm probably not that far off. Well, Jesus said she's hungry when he raised a 12-year-old from the dead. He said, just give her a little food. Now, Pete probably said, just give her like a little pulled pork or a little broccoli salad, Carol. Got a refrigerator full of it. Do you want any? Better this refrigerator than mine. And it became known, this is verse 42, throughout all of Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Now, the text doesn't say that everyone thought Peter was a swell guy and we need to keep him around like some kind of fire insurance. The text says, and many believed in the Lord. Again, it's all about him. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything in this universe is about him. Everything. It's all about him. Every miracle is about him. Every communion is about him. Every baptism is about him. Everything is about him. This is why we're gathered together here as a church family today, because it's all about him. Lest we forget or get too busy, it's all about him. I'm here to remind you today that it's all about the man and the glory. Now, here's the last verse in chapter 9. Then we're going to move on to chapter 10. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. Now, if you guys got a fairly good Bible, you'll see these cities on your maps in the back. And if you visited Israel, Joppa and Caesarea are right there on the coast. Notice, too, who Peter is staying with. A tanner. You know what a tanner is? Man, I thought this smelled good. I mean, a tanner is a leather worker. So what do you have inside the house of leather workers? The dead hides. Okay. We're in chapter 10, verse 1. Now there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment. All right, Cornelius is a Gentile, and as we call him, Ron, he's a paisan. Verse 2, a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, who also gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. All right, so Cornelius is a good man. He's a godly man, raised up his family well. I'm assuming he was Italian the same as his battalion was Italians. Now, about the ninth hour of the day, that would be 3 p.m. A day start at 6 a.m. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? So he said, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, may I add, just like yours have as well, God's no respecter of persons. Now, perhaps an angel hasn't appeared to you from heaven to tell you that, but I'm here to tell you today that God is no respecter of persons. And what was a memorial before God then is a memorial before God now. This is Memorial Day, not last week. It is for us, but here before God, your prayers. Were you guys here last week when Pastor Darren preached this message? Prayers, your spiritual supply. Your prayers go up as a memorial before God. And number 2, your alms. That is what you give. Yes, that can mean money. But some people don't have a lot of money. It doesn't have to be money. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your prayers and what you do in the name of Jesus also goes up as a memorial before God. God has not forgotten your work. Now, the author of Hebrews says the same thing. God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. In that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. This Greek word for alms means mercy and pity and the giving to the poor. Just like Jesus said verbatim. He said, and as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Now that is what Memorial Day looks like to him. Now here come the angel's instructions to this Italian man here, Cornelius. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. When he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Boy, I just can't wait to see what happens next. How about you guys? You mind if I keep you guys here just a little bit longer? We got time, don't we? Let's see where we end up. Now, verse 9. A little early to lose my voice. See what happens when I take a week off? It's your fault. Okay, verse 9. So the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That would be
12 noon. Then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. All right, now this vision serves as a catalyst or a great turning point that indeed there's been a change in covenants is the reason for this. There's been a change in covenants. So Peter's having a vision. Here comes this great sheet descending out of heaven, verse 12. On it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. So all kinds of things that were forbidden, or better yet, things that were unclean to eat in the Old Testament. Verse 13. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill, eat," or as they say in Italian, "mangia." Peter said, "No, Lord, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times. That's because we got such hard heads, isn't it? We're so darn stubborn sometimes, he's got to give it to us three times here. Look at the importance to understand that there's been a change in covenants. And you're not under, well, you were never under any Old Testament dietary laws, and you're not a Jew. You have no old covenant. You only have one covenant. You're not changing from anything. This is all you know. Look, lobster boil is all that you know. Ribs, pulled pork. You're not turning from anything. You're not Jewish. Now, these old guys, these guys had a problem because you can't just all of a sudden go from Sunday to Tuesday, from being an outcast to have a seat. See, they had a problem with this naturally. They were brought up and raised. They were going to hell in a handbasket. Now he's telling them it's okay. So rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now this was done three times. The object was taken up into heaven. Make no mistake about it. This vision is about food. We'll also see in a moment, it's not just food, but it's going to be about people as well. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Like I said, have some of this crawfish boil. Why would anyone, Captain Jim, eat crawfish boil? I don't, beyond me. We went to their wedding 5 years ago now, right? Man, you had that whole table full of crawfish boil, wouldn't it? Shrimp. The smell was legendary. Have some of this tavern ham, Peter. Have some Genoa salami on rye. We'll even throw in a kosher dill pickle. Anyone hungry yet? No? Jesus said it would be this way. Jesus told us it would be this way. Listen to this verse, Mark 7:14. Let me read it out of the ESV. Jesus says, well, he called all the people to him and he said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he entered into the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you also without understanding? Don't you see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not into his heart, but into his stomach?" Then it says this, "Thus he declared all foods clean." Write that verse down, never forget it. That is Mark chapter 7, verse 19. The next time some legalist comes up to you and says, "You cannot eat pork. It's against God's rules, and his rules don't change." Book, chapter, and verse. We, us, where we always stand. Mark 7:19. Thus he declared all foods clean. Romans 14:14. The Apostle Paul says, I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Again, like I said, some Jews had a problem with this. You don't eat something if it causes, if what you do is going to cause someone else to stumble. But don't say God has a problem with it, because he doesn't. Because Jesus has declared all foods clean. People never expect you to have a response and an answer to this. They think you're too ignorant to know how to answer this. Not on my watch is that going to happen. We'll discover later that Peter was very slow to embrace this apparent change in what God deemed to be acceptable. Paul had a famous confrontation with Peter, the most famous confrontation of all the Bible between Christians. He wrote about it in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 11. Paul wrote, when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him right to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. You see, Peter was afraid of what other people would say about him. Even though he had the keys, still wasn't perfect. He still was afraid of what other people were going to say. Separated himself out of Paul's own mouth, fearing those who were of the circumcision. All right, let's go back to Acts here, 10:17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was staying there or not. Now, while Peter thought about this vision, the Spirit said to him, and I quote, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them, unquote. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius, and he said, yes, I am he whom you seek. Why are you here? Or for what reason have you come? And they said, well, Cornelius the centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged there. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. All right, now next week, we'll finish this story. And we'll hear Peter's sermon to this household of Cornelius. Let me close today with these 2 points, actually three now. Number one, things I want you to take home with you. We're witnessing with our very own eyes the change in covenants take place that many legalists have missed. Legalists out here today still try to keep you under the law. And the Apostle Paul says you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace now. So we're witnessing the very change in covenants. Now, God himself says this. Listen to this. This is Hebrews 8:10. He says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. I'll write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, I'll tell you what, on this 31st day of May, year of our Lord, 2026, now that is some good news if I've ever heard it. What do you think? Your sins and your lawless deeds, God says, I will remember no more. God has amnesia with our sins. Praise the Lord, right? I mean, that's some good news, isn't it? Then he says this. In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first covenant obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Poof. Now, that's the word of God. So Peter and many Jews are going to struggle a bit with this as we go through here. All right, so that's number one, change in covenants. Number two, we're seeing Matthew 16, 18 play out right before us. I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against my church. And I will give to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And lastly, point number three, don't listen to people that try to bring you back under the law regarding acceptable foods to eat, because those people are trying to bring you under bondage. And it's a bondage that never was yours to begin with. It was somebody else's bondage, not yours. Jesus said, I think it's John 8:32, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now we'll pick it up here next Sunday. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you indeed for setting us free. Thank you for the knowledge of the truth that makes us free. Thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing here in the church. We pray you would just show us what you'd have us to do. And thank you for helping us understand that some of these promises weren't meant for us. They were meant for specific people. And this promise of loosing and binding was for the Apostle Peter, the early leader of the church. Thank you for using him mightily. And all we can do is be like Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. And we say that here together, Lord. Here we are. Use us here in these end of days. Use us here to be a blessing to others, to advance your kingdom. We pray for these ministries here of Island Community Church, our food pantry ministry, our tent ministry out here. All that we're doing here, just ask for your blessings on everything that we're doing. Use us mightily. Help us always to remember the community in Island Community Church. We praise you and magnify your holy name now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question. It comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, a passage most know as the Lord's Prayer. There, Jesus instructs his disciples to pray for God's kingdom to come. Now, John, the kingdom that Jesus is referring to, what exactly is that kingdom? And how should Christians pray for it to come? Well, in the simple sense, Denny, the kingdom of God is the realm, the spirit.